Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with MoneyWeb.
All right, let's move on. And as you sample DeepSeek, which I'm sure you are going to, I want to stay with technology. And according to the latest Omdia research report, 2025 is going to be the first year that streaming outpaces traditional pay TV, and I read, by a significant margin. But while the so-called streaming wars may be over or getting to a point, an apex maybe, the battle to connect with audiences is just intensifying. Advertisers, streamers, content creators, all racing to stay relevant in an increasingly fragmented and fast-moving landscape. So what does this mean for South Africa? Well, I'm turning my attention now to Leslie Adams, sales director at Reach Africa. We've spoken to Leslie before, and he really does have his finger on the pulse of all of this. So, Leslie, good evening. Welcome. Omdia has declared the streaming wars over. Do you think that is correct, or is this battle just evolving into something new?
It's definitely evolving into something new. I think the traditional versus streaming media, I think that discussion's well and truly had. I think the evolution of consumers moving into the sort of internet-connected age has happened. I think TV, without exception, has now moved into the space where many consumers connect and find their TV content through different avenues outside of pay TV and sort of and free-to-air. What's really interesting now is that the battle is between one another as opposed to against one arch enemy. So as opposed to Netflix competing with traditional pay TV, it's now Netflix versus Disney versus any other streamer out there. And I think that's definitely a new phase, and you'll see quite a bit of acquisitions, streamers, platforms come and go. And obviously, as it evolves into this next space, because a lot of these streamers will have extremely high churn, and it will become a lot more competitive in the space, especially as consumers are still pinched with the cost of living.
So there's a cost issue, but there's also an availability issue. There are so many streaming platforms available in this country right now, and I'm just wondering, because I think I suffer from it myself, the risk of subscription fatigue. And consumer behavior is shifting in response to an increasingly overcrowded market, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think South Africa and Africa as a whole will do what we always do. We tend to skip steps within the process because we have to move at speed, and ultimately necessity drives how adoption actually works. And in the African context, it's not only subscription fatigue, but it's this high cost of living. So how do we find the best content at the best cost? So where the rest of the world or the Western world is adopting to, you know, advertising within their content, Africa seems to be sort of leading the way in this space because it is an easier way. It lowers the cost barrier. It allows us to have more access to more streaming services out there. And suddenly you sort of skip the step where SVOD sort of leads the way, or subscriber video demand leads the way, where now we're looking at more ad-driven solutions where you can access content for free, which is really, you know, the African way.
But let me challenge you on that. So fair enough that ad-supported models are gaining traction, but I wonder if local audiences are really open to watching ads in exchange for cheaper or free content. I would think there might be some resistance.
So a lot of people did initially, right? So Netflix, for example, just announced their Q4 growth for their global markets. It's their biggest growth per quarter ever. More than half of that growth came from the ad-supported tier. So Netflix with ads is thriving because of advertising, which is quite interesting. A once thought of service who sort of shunned the thought of advertising, always put it off and said they'll never go there, is now driving almost more than half of their growth is driven through the fact that they can offer a low entry cost system subsidized by advertising. Africa is actually no exception in the fact that predominantly, most of our content is served with advertising. And even in music, if you look at things like Spotify, for example, 60% of the entire audience listens to ads and doesn't pay a subscription. So that there's already a precedent for this. And in fact, depending on how wide a content demand you actually have as a person, the chances are you can't subscribe to 10, 20, 30 subscription services. So therefore, you got to make cuts and adjustments along the way.
Providing, I imagine, the content quality is seamless.
So it's a really interesting space because we actually find ourselves in this really sort of weird content churn era where, you know, the drive for profitability within streaming services has meant that the drop in investment into particular shows is already well underway, which means that actually we see a lot more, let's inverted commas, sort of binge watching poor quality content as opposed to sort of the drive for this award-winning landmark content. And it's because ultimately, it's down to engagement. If I can keep you engaged for weeks at a time, even though it's not shows that will blow your mind, but at least keeps you switching on and choosing my service. That's sort of one of the strategies to go out there. And then once in a while, drop an amazing show to make sure that you keep that sort of elite status within the sort of market.
That is so interesting, because maybe we are drawn sometimes to nostalgia.
Absolutely. I mean, nostalgia launched the streaming era. Before we had Netflix originals, we had the streaming era bringing back quality primetime shows from like the 90s era of television. So nostalgia ultimately is the way to sort of tap into the emotion of the audience. What's really interesting about this ultimately is that everything we see now looks a lot like pay TV of the past, right? You're paying to access the content. You're now seeing advertising to bring the cost down, and then you're enjoying content here and there. And in the streaming age, I mean, there's this old age sort of multi-choice complaint about repeats, where in the streaming age, the complaint now is, I can't find anything to watch. So I just settled on some reality TV that just is sort of play on in the background. And that sort of full circle moment we find ourselves in will mean that the new competitive stage will be streamer versus streamer, much like before it was pay TV versus pay TV or free to air.
That's such a good observation. Often I find myself spending more time on the Netflix menu than actually watching anything. And I think that that illustrates your point. Leslie, I'm just wondering about YouTube. There is a sense that maybe YouTube remains the true winner in the streaming wars, because it's this mix of user-generated content within an ad-driven model.
So YouTube remains the powerhouse of video and entertainment across the board, and remains the home of free. And you know, more than 90% of YouTube is ultimately served for free, and all forms of entertainment are found in a sort of one central repository, and it's available across every single device out there. So it's got a massive head start. And more than that, they seem to benefit from the fact of stale content or nostalgic content or older content, because once it airs on television or in another pay TV or another service, it tends to end up on YouTube anyway. So this first release window and the idea that, you know, brand new content drives audiences, ultimately content drives audiences, regardless of how old it is. And because YouTube serves so many needs, it does remain sort of the front runner within the space. It is, however, driven by user-generated content. And even in the media space, we consider it more of a social media than a streaming service. What's really interesting in the entertainment space, YouTube really is everything to everyone, which makes it quite a sort of head start, where, you know, Netflix has its own little niche, Showmax has its own little niche, Disney has its own little niche, where YouTube is pretty much everything to everyone. It's a how-to, it's an influencer business, it's Mr. Beast's home. All of these sort of things are quite interesting, while also having music, while also having education, while also having politics, all in the same place. It is a really interesting space to sort of play in. As we sort of evolve the market as a whole, it'll be interesting to see like which service develops its own personality. So very much like we had SABC 1, 2, and 3, and Mnet, we're now going to move into a space where you opt for a particular service for a particular reason. And how those evolve in different spaces will be quite interesting. And also, how much content will flow freely towards YouTube, or how much content will stay with behind the paywalls in different spaces.
Just finally and very quickly, you mentioned the SABC and throw ETV into that mix. With streaming revenue surpassing pay TV, what does this mean for legacy broadcasters? I guess Mnet would be included in that.
So it's a really interesting phase they find themselves in. I think many newsrooms in different areas, whether it be radio or print or TV, are sort of figuring out how to monetize in the digital age. Now, traditionally, when we think of the digital age, a lot of things are free or low cost, or low barrier to entry. But very much what the TV side of things is presenting is that, in fact, digital content is now also entering its premium phase, which could be an opportunity for different broadcasters out there. So SABC Plus and AVOD have both launched AVOD models with ad-funded and sort of an incremental model to build on their TV audience. But as their audience becomes younger and younger, and South Africa is a young audience, which will migrate to digital a lot quicker than our older audience, or SASA audience, as I like to call them. But it's quite an interesting space to see how quickly we can move and adjust and pivot our monetization models to make sure we have a good business in the future. The fact of the matter is, I think what's really interesting is that the internet age allows us to cross border and grow audiences across different markets. And the route to growth that we've seen from international players has always been bigger than your own domestic market. And I think that's going to be the next phase for when you look at the South African players like EVOD, like MultiChoice, who really plays a massive role on the African continent, to see how far they can grow their audience outside of their domestic markets and play in the international phase within their niche, because our niche is very important. The African narrative is very important and growing within the space, and it's very unique to us.
This is all absolutely fascinating. Leslie Adams, I'm going to leave it there. Sales Director, Reach Africa, appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.